Does anyone need to fart? Now's the time to do it before we start recording. I'm good. All right. Hello, you. It's time, finally, to pour one out with a pouring old man. My name is Russell. I'm one of your hosts. Today is a very special episode. It's the very first Pouring Old Men Golden Oldies. But before we get there, I should probably introduce the other old timers with me. Joining me, as he always does, from a galaxy hop far, far away, is Mr. Anthony Pitt.
How are you, mate?
Mate, super. Thanks for asking.
Is that your Mandalorian reference
there? It is, yeah. And joining us, finally, making his triumphant return, he's our very own Vic Secret. It's Warren Crawford.
How are you guys?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
He's been let out.
He's drying up, he's dehydrated, and he's ready to consume some beers.
And I posted bail.
Excellent. Just not allowed within 500 feet of certain areas anymore.
Certain breweries.
I was struggling to come up with intro names for you guys, and I only thought of them not on the way on the drive here. I was using a internet nickname generator site. I can't remember which one I had for you, but the one I had for Warren was Stud Pickles. I forget what yours are. There. So if you hear some strange nicknames coming, you know I've run out of ideas.
I thought there might have been a Cobra Kai reference when you had the Mandalorian one. So,
well, I might work at that one next week. Have you done season three now?
I have done season three now. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, we can't talk about it. I've watched one episode. All right.
Oh, yeah. Catch up time. And WandaVision this week, so...
Yep, so it was pretty good run. Like, yeah, Mandalorian, that got pretty epic towards the end, actually.
Oh, yes.
Did it ever.
I'm only partway through, so...
Okay.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't spoil it anyway, but...
The best half is still to come.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it just gets better and better. Yeah, that was pretty good. And then, yeah, straight into Cobra Kai, and, yeah, I binged that way too quickly.
Yes, yeah, we did that too.
WandaVision, good times.
Actually, you know what I watched recently was The Truth Seekers.
Who is that?
It's got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Yeah.
The guys from...
Yes.
Shaun of the Dead and all those guys.
Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, classics, yeah. Really good. Only the first season's up on Amazon Prime, but...
Okay.
It's all about the paranormal and they're kind of ghost chases. It's fun.
Yep.
It's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well.
That killed the mood.
Well, I'm waiting for the socials.
Oh, I was just delaying and see what natural conversation masterpiece is coming in, you know.
Yeah, no, we've peaked
out. That's the end of Conversation Street.
It's not when you go to the bar and you're like, I'll have a schooner, thanks, mate. And the bartender keeps talking to you. Just shut up and get me my bloody beer.
Yep, I'm done. I'm thirsty. Let's go.
Order a cocktail. So I was flipping around. I was like, I don't want a flair bartending. Just make a cocktail.
Just give me a beer.
Yep.
Shut your mouth so I can enjoy it.
Yeah. I asked for a beer, not a conversation, thanks, pal.
Beer, please.
So... who are we? We are the Pouring Old Men, just a couple of old timers sitting on the back porch talking about the bears we love. We ain't bear wankers, we're bear lovers. We release new episodes into the wild each and every Tuesday morning. Now Tuesdays.
So please be aware.
Yes. Of course, it's useless saying it on this episode because people are going to go on Monday and where the hell's the episode and miss Tuesday. So, yeah. So Tuesdays.
Yeah. We'll have to make sure we put that on our socials.
Yeah. But yeah, that releases in all your... podcast services or that you might find, and you can also catch up with us and chat to us on Instagram, Facebook, maybe Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter and Tumblr. I don't think I've checked it in about 3 months.
There's YouTube there as well. It's probably YouTube. We had our cameraman, sorting out some footage for the YouTube channel. We told make us all look, as handsome as possible, and we haven't heard from him since. So he's getting some extra software in, I think, for that. It's probably melted down his equipment.
Do you know, one of the kids told me that I should be looking at SnapTalk or
TikTok.
TikTok.
Oh, I'm on TikTok now, actually. You can find Pouring Old Russell at TikTok.
Can you?
I've only got one video, and there's just a trial one of me playing Clask, which is one of my Christmas presents. Clask is, it's like air hockey, but it's on like a little miniature wooden table.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some.
And you use it with like a magnet under the board, and you move your pieces. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I was playing against my 7-year-old, so I got a little video with... It's mixed with It's Tricky by Run DMC. So it's like, what's this TikTok all the kids are talking about?
So if you want to see an old man get beaten by his kids, jump on that one.
No, I specifically used the footage I had of me scoring a goal against them.
the one and only.
he did beat me in the first game, you little bugger, but... Should we kick on with the first award?
Well, let's start with trends.
Oh!
Yeah.
And who better to talk about what's trendy than us?
Yeah, exactly right.
we just discovered TikTok and now we know it.
Now we're talking about trends for 2020 and stuff for 2021. Awesome.
Let me tell you, young fella, what's trendy now?
2020? I thought we were talking about 1920.
It'll come around eventually.
Yeah.
That'll never age. So what were the big trends of 2020? You want to kick us off here?
Yep. So I had a couple with the beer related. So my first big trend that I noticed was the milkshake style and adding lactose to beers.
Lactose came really big, like just in the things you wouldn't expect. Yes. Like lactose, yes, in a milkshake IPA, but then it just popped up in stouts and everything else. Well,
popping up in sours, stouts, just anything and everything.
I think it was one of those things that it kind of, some applied it really well and some, it was just a train wreck.
Yeah. There was some really good examples of it and some really bad stuff.
But that's what we're here for. We're here to sample them so that
true.
You guys, the listeners,
don't have to.
We'll be your guinea pigs, your canary in the coal mine, whatever it is.
Exactly right.
I'm a bit big to be a canary.
more of a flamingo. Yeah, flamingo in the coal mine.
So, are you just saying I've got a long neck, skinny legs, and just a fat body?
you are quite pink, mate. So
another trend I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Oat cream. It started popping up.
That became sort of a big wave in 2020.
I think it was used better than the milkshake lactose trend because it just made things a little bit, obviously added haze, but it was just a smoother, creamier finish to a lot of beers I enjoyed.
Yeah. Probably my favourite of them, like the Primal Horde from, I think, Deeds. That was a really good oat cream. That's probably the pick of the bunch I've had so far.
There's been a few.
I think I've only had a couple. I haven't had that many yet. So
there was a Revel Currumbin Valley one, which was really good. Mr. Banks did a few. Deeds did a few. So a couple of those may even pop up later on in the episode. So won't go into too much detail.
Actually, one of the trends that I saw start to pop up, and we've spoken about this before, was the move back to more traditional styles to get away from the stout IPA or sour that everyone's doing. And we saw it with like Black Ops with the, was it Double Bock?
Yes, the Double Box.
And even, was it Helios that, I think, was it Double Bock they did as well? Or Triple, no, Belgian Triple they did as well. They did more traditional style.
The Dubels.
Sea Legs did a German Marzen and it's starting to go, Hazy's reached full peak, trendiness now to find something new. You've got to go old school, so they're going right back.
And I'm looking forward to that. Like, I want to see more of that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, digging some of those sort of really old school European styles where if they get them right, they're just good beers.
Mm.
Do it better than the Germans.
Yeah.
So one of the trends I've noticed is it's almost like a blurring of the line between beer styles. Like it used to be you have IPAs, IPA, pale ales, a pale ale, and all that. Whereas now it's like your pale ales can't be just as hazy as a hazy IPA. And so it's often without, like, reading the can, it's hard to pick, is this a hazy
palo,
or is it a double dry hop? And it's everything's starting to blur the lines. Like, it's just becoming
sours,
hazy sours, there's pastry sours, whereas, pastry used to be stouts only, basically. Yep. So there's more ideas come together. They start putting all the ideas in together at one time.
Yeah. Which is good. And I think that's the fun one is the old school styles and then the, okay, we've done this well, we've done that well, haven't we? Combine them and see what happens. So
My favourite trend of 2020, and this was imperative given what 2020 was, online ordering.
Yes.
Oh,
Yes, it's been around for a while, but it's if you don't have it, you're a dying business.
Online ordering, at the moment. Same day delivery in a lot of places as well, and even the sort of craft beer bottle shops doing same day delivery.
Yep, that's exactly it. It's
and that is an essential service.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. That's a big one.
It's really handy also, just from a craft beer lover. It's hard to get to some of the smaller places sometimes. Yeah. And it's good that you can just jump online and order from them. I got package from it was a Bad Shepherd down in Melbourne, Victoria, South Australia, one of those places there.
Not Queensland.
South, I don't know. Somewhere that we can't go to because we're in a hotspot, I don't know. But yeah, there's some beers in there, you can't get up here, so just jump online a week later, there they are, nice and handy. So it's good that it's becoming more prolific.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did the same. I jumped on, I really wanted to go, what's outside of my sphere of reachability, for lack of a better word, in terms of bottle shops and availability?
Mm.
Because there is beers that I like beers from Victoria that I, I drank when I lived down there that I just can't get up here.
Yep.
So being able to jump online, try some of their new stuff, get some of the limited stuff, that really made a big difference, and I embraced that a lot this year as well.
Well, that's 2020, 2021.
Looking ahead to 2021.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Less COVID.
That'd be a good start.
What I want to see, and this is probably going to sound a bit strange actually coming from a craft beer lover, but I want to see less beers. There's almost like a flooding of the market at the moment. Everyone's got limited releases. Everyone's got ranges of limited releases. It's just a bit too much at the moment.
It is hard to keep up.
And a lot of the time, it's also hard to differentiate between different releases as well. Unless you've got a highly sophisticated palate, it's hard to tell what's the difference between that limited hazy and that limited hazy, or this West Coast and that West Coast. Yeah.
Not only that, I think I'd like to see more seasonal.
Mm.
So rather than going limited, I'd rather see seasonal. They go, we only produce
one
of these a year. It's going to come out this date. You get it if you get it.
Yeah.
Because the problem was, great, all these limited edition beers. Love this one. Never going to get it again.
Yes.
What's the point?
Mm.
Yeah. But have a winter stout, maybe autumn have a red or a rye or something like that.
Yep.
Summer go your sours, that sort of thing. So, and maybe have 3 or 4, but within that same group, so it's simple. You can walk in, go, I'll try this one.
And it's not that I don't want limited edition. I'm a sucker for them. That's probably why I want less of them as well. So I don't buy them all. But it's also, I want to see a bit more variety between them, rather than someone releasing 25 different versions of a West Coast IPA. I want to see a whole range. We talk about the classic styles. Have a couple of different old Belgian styles, and something different like that come out. So
what about you, Warren? Any
what would I like to see in 2021?
Yeah.
Look, from a personal level, I really want to hone down my core range of beers, my fridge fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a couple, but, I really want to get that stout that I can just chuck in the fridge and drink at any stage and enjoy it.
Yep.
I've probably got a good IPA with either the Ferrell's Biggie Juice or Black Ops Hornet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same with a sour, just a good core range sour that I can pick up whenever I need and I know I'm going to enjoy it. I'd actually like to see a bit more focus on affordability as well.
Yeah, true.
One of the trends that I saw that I really didn't like in 2020 was people asking $20 for a can of beer.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's just, I get that there's a lot of, we've spoken about this, high quality ingredients, limited, but I think a lot of these breweries go, we'll produce 6,000 cans, we're going to make them limited, so we'll charge $20 a can, we know we're going to sell it, fine.
Yep.
Yeah, but real justification.
Yeah, it makes it out of reach. Yeah.
It also makes it hard for the people that run the bottle shops as well, because they've got to try and sell a can of beer that's $20. Yeah. They don't get a lot of margin off it. They get RP of whatever it is, and they get $4 or $5 off it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And what happens if they can't sell it?
Well, exactly, yeah. And this also goes back to there's too many beers. Where are they putting all these beers? It's $20 each. So it's just,
Exactly right,
The other trend that I'm looking at, again, personally, that I'd like to focus on in 2021 is experimentation with different styles.
Yeah.
So, I've notoriously avoided lagers mid-strength beers, like brown ales. I haven't been interested in them.
Yep.
Yep.
But I think for the sake of learning more about craft beer, I want to focus more on those styles hone my skills in those areas as well.
I'd say that's on my list too, is just widen that range. I've got some go-tos and go-to styles. But yeah, definitely. The other one, I got a beer from Little Bang, a Sour Nipah.
Yep.
It was a cracking beer.
They're a cracking little brewery, actually, Little Bang. I've only had a couple of their beers, but they are pretty damn good.
So it was mango, and it was just mango, 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 punch in the face, mango.
Cool.
And just a little bit sour. But can you
order it without the punch in the face, or does it come in halfway through?
Yeah. It's delivered by the post.
It is a little banger. I'd like to see a few more.
I was wondering, did you order it at a bikey bar or something like that? So
this bloke's ordering a mango beer. Punch him!
I may have crossed into Logan's mind. That one I bought in Ipswich. That one explains a lot.
For those playing the home game, that makes total sense.
Yes.
In fact, you probably would have got punched in the face even if you hadn't bought any beer.
That's it.
My aim, I actually want to buy less beer. Like this, again, it ties into make less beer so I can buy less beer. So just focus my beers on expanding my taste range and even my brewery range. I normally get beers from certain breweries, but lately I've been trying to go further afield and take advantage of online ordering and stuff. And
that's it. I must admit I'm doing that too, where I'm 50-50 on two beers, and it's like, oh, I've had that brewery before, I haven't had this one.
Yeah,
I'll just go with that one just to expand the range.
And it's been good. Like, it's one of the advantages. Obviously, you've got the big can of 100 beers because they're all fridge fillers. Now I can sort of like just browse online. If I see something online, I'll just order that, bring that in. I'm not going off to the bottle shop spending like $60-$80 on a beer every weekend.
Yeah,
trying to explain to the missus why I really need this for the podcast.
How many podcasts are you making this week?
7.
Business expense. We do need to make some money to justify that.
We're currently a charity organisation.
If you'd like to sponsor the Pouring Old Men, get in touch on our socials.
Thank you.
One prediction, this is going to sound like a really bad prediction because it's already happened this year. One prediction I have for the year coming up, though, is I expect to see a lot more acquisitions of craft breweries, but by other craft breweries.
Yes.
Yeah. We just seen the other day that, Two Birds has been bought by Stone & Wood.
Really?
Fermentum Group, which owns Stone & Wood, they just bought Two Birds. Last year, we saw Semi-Pro be brought by Black Ops. I'm not thinking we'll see too many craft breweries be sold to like Asahi and Lion and stuff like that, but I think like the larger craft brands wanting to expand their reach into other territories, we start picking up the smaller, especially the ones that may have struggled during COVID, haven't bounced back well. I reckon we'll see a lot more of that sort of going on, I think.
It's a great way to move into a different state.
Yeah.
Like, completely reduces your overheads as far as setting up. Yep. So, and at least then you can bring on the staff as well. So you're hitting the ground running. It's just pretty much a facelift rather than starting from scratch. So, actually, that's a good idea, mate.
Yeah. But like I said, it would have sounded great like a week ago. but the fact that takeover took place in the last few days, it looks like, you just watched the news and copied it. Which I didn't, honestly.
Nostradamus. That was really strange.
We gave him a sympathy laugh, so it's all right.
Thanks, guys.
We're here to support you.
Yeah, speaking of which, is anyone else thirsty?
Oh, mate, I'm worked up a thirst talking, so let's get on to show and tell.
Parched as brew.
Beautiful. Let's go.
All right, time to take a break from the formalities, because it's been so formal. It's time for show and tell round one, and bringing a beer to share is Warren.
That's right. Today, I've got a Happy Valley Brewing Company.
Uh-huh.
Cherry Vanilla Sour.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is the second canning that Happy Valley have done.
Yep.
Nice.
I've spoken a fair bit on here. Obviously, I like their beers. I like the brewery. Number one, the guys down there.
Number one, 2023 beers. Wasn't speaking about Happy Valley. So.
Yeah, that's...
I'm your biggest fan.
Yep, that's the bingo card done, guys. But I actually really like the sound of this beer. So, cherry vanilla sour. It's just, I mean, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what it's all about. Traditionally, I've found Happy Valley's beers to be quite subtle.
Yep.
So they're not big and bold and punchy like some of the other beers that we try. So being a vanilla one, I'm kind of keen to hear what it's all about or taste, see That's what good. It's all about. Yeah. So let's crack on.
Crack on. Now this will be. Have you had Happy Valley before?
Bitter? No.
No. This will be my first as well.
So
I was thinking. It was like I've talked enough about them. I probably should bring one of their beers so we can try it.
Yeah, and I'm keen to give them a crack because I really want to start supporting some of these like newer breweries that are popping up, and I love the way these guys do their can art as well. They've got a very sort of vibrant range of can arts and nicknames and stuff like that. I really dig it.
It's nice, colourful, but
yeah.
Clean.
Oh, first pour of the year, and Warren Short poured himself. Well, yeah, sucks for you, pal.
Amateur hour.
You can probably steal some of the pitties, he won't want.
It's all right, I've got a couple more in the fridge, it'll be fine. Actually, the can art, I believe they got an art school student to do the can art for them.
Yep.
So, and I like it. It's bright.
It's got that...
it's got the candy shop kind of look to it.
The 60s, 70s diner vibe
right.
That American diner.
So I'll give you the spiel. So it's fermented with Philly sour yeast.
I think I say Philly cheese there. Fermented with Philly cheese.
Intriguing.
I meant to say with, but obviously I haven't even had a beer yet. Fresh Australian cherries and vanilla beans added during the ferment. Best served cold in a tulip or snifter glass.
I'd be intrigued to anyone that put best served hot on a beer.
I reckon there would be a few. There'd be a couple of pommy beers that'd be like best served left outside for a couple of days.
I did have a mate, Winners in University. He wanted a hot drink in the middle of winter, and he thought, well, what happens if I boil up a jug full of beer? It didn't go down well, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's you Kiwi uni students. Come on,
we didn't have that kind of budget when I was in uni.
Yeah,
I like that.
It smells good.
It is.
There's a cherry,
it's fruity. It's got a bit of sweetness that kind of plays into that vanilla.
It's almost like a beer in two halves. So as I drink it, like half my mouth is tasting like the smooth, creamy vanilla. The other side is like this tart, cherry, zippiness to it. And
because it really hits the palate first is that cherry, sour cherry, and then it sort of finishes with that creaminess, which is nice. Yeah.
It doesn't linger.
No.
It's also a very subtle, like creamy soda kind of experience. You know, you get a good creamy soda and it's slightly acidic, but then you've got the creaminess to it as well.
That's probably the best reference is really good quality creamy soda.
Mm.
Creamy soda with a little bit of ice cream on top. The old spider.
Oh, yeah. Man, I haven't had a spider in a long time.
Mm.
Do they do spider beers?
Yes. A lot of time with like the darker beers. I know Backers do a whole bunch of them. Like they get like some of the darker, rich dessert beers, and they put a spoonful of ice cream in there as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of venues that do it around the place.
I think they do it with sours as well. I think some of them might do some sour spiders. So, I don't think I'd get away with that in my pub. I don't think the boys in the bar would like to just put a scoop of vanilla ice cream in there before it's gold.
Probably not, no. It's probably one of those things you get a punch in the face for.
Probably, I'd say so, yeah. Yeah.
So, being 2021, we have decided to introduce a little bit more of a simplified scoring system.
We're getting rid of half marks?
Getting rid of the half marks.
I wonder who... instigated this.
Funnily enough, it was the half mark giver that's actually sort of instigated it. Russ did drop the penny a while ago, and it took me a while to come on board. But we thought let's keep it a little bit simpler for everyone out there, and it'll also look good on our socials as well. So, scoring system will be 1 to 4, 4 being exceptional.
Or God tier, as you might call it, but it is.
Yeah, drop everything, go out and buy one situation. It's just one of those absolute bangers, so go get it. 3 is going to be a good beer, and may not just be quite that sort of exceptional, or it could also be one where It's one of those ones where it's memorable. It may not quite be just hitting that perfect beer, but it's really good. Two being, it's good enough. It's drinkable. That situation. And one will generally be your best option is to pour it down the sink.
Cool. Yeah.
So simple.
Simple.
Keeping it simple. Yeah. So our first new scoring system, the Happy Valley, what is it?
Cherry Vanilla Sour.
Yes. Warren, do you want to give out the first score of the new year?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to give it a 3.
3?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
But I'm cheap.
Oh, no, I'll probably go 3 here as well, yeah.
Yeah, 3 for me as well. Yeah.
That's easy.
Cool. Yeah. Done.
Good
that,
beer.
I think that was the most consensus we've had in scoring in a long time.
All right, takes us on to our first set of awards for the episode. We're going to kickstart off with the most hype award for 2020. This is something that just generated a whole lot of buzz and may or may not have lived up to expectations and just created a bit of a frenzy online. So,
do you have a nominee?
I certainly do. So I've got... I'll run you through my list here. Yep. So my nominees... Range Brewing in Brisbane, they are definitely up there for most hype. They get a lot of buzz around the place.
I've just ticked off one on my list. Yeah.
They probably faded in the latter half of the year, I think. So they had some
negativity coming.
Well, the first half of the year, you couldn't buy their stuff, whereas now it's around for a while. But yeah, not to say they're a bad brewery; they just don't seem to have quite the rabid following as what they used to.
Yes,
I think the other. Hype we sort of mentioned before, the Hazy Nipa was quite hyped as well, but it's starting to fade off a bit as people look more towards oat creams and stuff. And the other one probably that's got a lot of hype as it's more available in Australia now is obviously Garage Project, that's quite most hype at the moment.
Yeah, that'd be on mine as well.
My supreme award though for the winner of my the Golden Rust, I suppose the Golden Rusties, the most hype at the moment I think has to go to Mountain Culture Brewing.
Yes.
They
sort of replaced Range as
I think probably I first started hearing them about 3-4 months ago. People saying, this is great. And people go nuts for it. I've only had one. It was part of it's day one of the Christmas calendar. It was one from theirs. It was quite nice. But yeah, they just if you look online, they just people go nuts for it. So,
Warren, do you want to deliver yours?
It's probably a couple. Yeah. Some breweries, some beers. One of them is Deeds Brewing.
Yep.
There's always just a lot of hype around it.
Yep.
Rightfully so. They make some good stuff.
Yeah.
They, I finally can't. They can be hit and miss. Like sometimes they're really good, sometimes a bit, whatever.
I think there's a lot of the mid-range ones that, I couldn't care less.
Yep.
Or sort of that exceptional beers. I find they have really good. None of that sort of but then, solid.
I also think up until recently, some of the good stuff wasn't making it up to Queensland.
Yes.
We're finally getting a lot more of the limited release stuff for them, which is probably bumping up their quality.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I'm working on my local about that too. And they're coming around. They're going, we really should get some more Deed stuff in. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
The next was All Rise on Me.
Yes.
By Sea Legs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hype.
Yes.
Controversially.
Especially a lot of hype on this particular podcast as well, so...
Controversially, I'm going to say, didn't like it.
Mm.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. It might be wrong, but it's an opinion.
It is, yeah. Opinions are like arseholes. Yeah.
Everyone's got one and yours stinks.
Most of them are full of shit.
Yeah.
Look, I was really excited to try that beer. It didn't hit the mark for me. That's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, and last but not least, pumpkin beers.
Ugh.
A lot of hype.
Yeah.
Not a lot of delivery.
Yep. All sizzle, no steak.
All fart, no shit.
Well, in terms of a slipstream one, all pumpkin, no spice.
Yes.
Maybe stand by for the wooden spoon or whatever. Yes. So that's your most hyped?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Russ did take a couple of mine.
Yep. Fair enough.
The one I will mention is, again, Garage Project by the Whittaker Beers.
Yep.
Now, the issue I had was I got two of each.
Yep.
And those ones, one of the white chocolate, one of them was really good.
Mm.
one of them was really bad.
I have
heard. Same with the dark chocolate.
Yep.
I had one that was a good solid beer.
Really?
Mm. The other one was ordinary. Mm. So I don't know whether there was an issue with travel,
yeah,
whether there was something with using those flavours caused issues, but yeah.
Just you're talking just about the flavour, or are you talking about the nitro levels?
All of it.
All of it.
Mm. So one was really good nitro, really thick, filled up. The other one poured, I might as well have just poured a flat beer sort of situation. Yeah. So... and that one obviously didn't was the one that didn't taste as good as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it was just for the amount of hype that was built up and the excitement that was built up with those beers, it was just...
Yeah, sorry about that. That's probably mostly me.
But even online, it was just one of those ones where it was, I think because it came out in New Zealand sort of, 6 weeks beforehand...
Yep.
There's a lot of buzz.
I must admit, I was actually surprised by the level of hype that got. Like, I know Garage Project get a lot of hype, Aussie, that are in my list as well. But I didn't think, like, you know, the Whittaker's chocolate brand would carry that much thing. I don't know whether it's just because it's a chocolate beer in general.
I think it was more the chocolate beer. I think the Whittaker's was just... Everyone knows it's a nice chocolate brand, but not a real care. But it was I think the Christmas time, the excitement over chocolate, it was decadent. It sort of just fit everything around that stage. And it's just...
I didn't actually like the white chocolate one at all. I thought it was pretty just average, you know, pretty ordinary. The dark chocolate one, I wish it wasn't nitro. I wish it was a big, heavy stout with those flavours. It'd be amazing.
That was my disappointment. And then, as far as hyped, definitely... Mountain Culture has built up a fair bit. Range had theirs, so it's obviously people are just sort of slowly moving around Southeast Queensland. So,
all right. So the next one up is the Wooden Spoon.
Yes, I will start with the nominees
this time.
So, pumpkin beers in general. Second nominee, the Pirate Life Del Mar Tea collaboration.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't put that in the worst of the year. It's just more... I'll give them points just for trying something like...
It was
bonkers, so...
Yeah. And third nominee, Combat Wombat. The first beer of our inaugural... Pouring Old Men show. Combat Wombat. It was partly for the flashback, partly because it was a rubbish beer.
Yep.
So, on that, just... I think grapefruit added in general is just not a winner for me.
For me just doesn't work in a beer, so that's one. All right, so my wooden spoons, so a couple of runners up. I've got to mention there's a one called Spark Beer. It's a brewery, I think, in South Australia, Adelaide. They've had beers pop up in two mix packs that I brought this year. Both have been mid strengths, which is, you know, a bit of a dent against them. One of them was a bloody ginger beer to start off with, so mid strength ginger beer, and it was goddamn awful. I'd rather drink just a normal Bundy beer. and they're very politically active as well. So all their beer names are named after like movements like for climate change and all this sort of. I support their movements. I just don't want it written on the back of a beer can while I'm trying to, like, you know, distract myself from these problems that the world has.
Burn fossil fuels.
Exactly.
I've got the air conditioning on. I'm chewing through as much electricity as possible. Don't give me your climate change.
So, that's one of my runners up. Like, maybe focus less on your political activity and more on making good beer.
That's outrageous.
Or a drinkable beer in general. Start with that and then start your political cause.
It's kind of using the political aspect to try and sell their beer.
That's exactly what really grates me. It's like, yes, they might actually, no doubt they believe in their cause, they want to push it forward, but it's a bit shoving it down someone's throat just to make a point of difference kind of thing. It's a little bit too on the nose. My other runner-up is Nitro Beers. I just wanted to spoon because it's been a pretty bad year for nitros. The number of times I had a nitro beer in 2020 and it was an absolute dud. Yep. Like, there are exceptions and it came well, like Handsome Elvis from Bolter. Consistency really good, but a lot of time
I've had absolute crackers with the nitro. The Whittaker's is the first time that I've had poor nitro.
I've had a few and I've seen a few around online, people just having dud nitros and something's going wrong with the process there, so I think hopefully see a bounce back from nitro, because I do like them. I just get disappointed when they're done well.
Helios do really good nitros.
And I think, you know, the best nitro is always on tap.
Yeah.
But I've mentioned this a few times. I've had hit and miss all year with nitros, and it's disappointing because I always get excited when I see it.
And my winner for the wooden spoon, and I think Warren, you might agree with me on this one here. The big wooden spoon for me is Moondog Brewing.
They've come up with
some really good ideas for beers, but they just can't make them. Right?
come up with the idea and give it to someone else who can make
them. They had In the Crumble, the Mighty Crumble, which is apple crumble beer, and that was just awful.
See, I didn't mind it. It tasted like apple crumble, but it's not something I wanted to have in my beer.
They had the Ogden Nash Pash Rash that we had on the show, and that was awful. Yeah. Recently, I had the imaginatively called Bear Can Lager, which just tastes like a can of water, to be honest. The Timothy Slam, that tastes like nothing. That was pretty average as well. I was like, God damn, no.
And the other one was the Dream Cake IPA.
I've got it. The coconut imperial drink. That was terrible. I don't know what
they're using. I think it might be the lactose that they're using.
Yeah,
but it either doesn't travel well, or they have no taste buds. Mm. And I can't figure it out what it is.
And it's amazing too, because I've seen some reviews on where people love it.
Mental for it. And hey, again, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. That's fine. But
people just loving it. Or the alternate is people pouring it down the sink. They're not finishing it.
Yeah.
It's one extreme or the other. It's really random. I don't think I've seen a beer that's had such extreme.
That's fine.
I think kind of in consensus with a lot of those points. The ones that I noted in particular was 7 Mile Brewing Smashing Pumpkins. Again, so that kind of falls into the pumpkin beer category. Yep. Yeasty Boys, the Earl Grey beer. So again,
the tea based
beers. I put Moondog. Pretty much, they're all shit. So again, consensus. And the last one for me was the Hope Brewing's Rhino FAAA 18. The 18% thing.
The overloaded alcohol ones.
I pride myself on never throwing a beer down the sink.
Mm.
That's the closest I've come.
Ooh. Wow. You still didn't pour it down the sink, though.
No, it was 18%. I was setting out to get roasted that night. So
that if you had
just didn't enjoy
sort of a clog of the sink, that would have got rid of it. So
the dangerous thing with that, if you have a beer you don't like, the danger is sometimes you just drink it quickly so it's out of the way.
Yep.
If it's 18%, that brings up a whole bunch of dangerous propositions there if you're knocking back quickly an 18% beer.
Yes.
So what day after all the week did you wake up afterwards? So.
That was the one I woke up in prison.
Alright, so I think we've got all the negativity out of the system now. It's all good, all positive from here. Alright, so next up for show and tell, we have from Black Ops Brewing, this is the anniversary ale number 200. So this is their 200th beer brewed by the Black Ops team.
That's nice. So we've had number 100 and now number
200. The 200. So the reason I chose this is because this makes me reflect on 2020 with my point. There's too many bloody beers being brewed.
It's only
about what, a year and a half since number 100 came out, so that's they're trotting them out in a fair quick succession down there. So just slow down, let's aim for 300 in 2 years time at least.
And I think I'm going to continue on with that while you're opening the beer. The issue that I have is by the time the next release comes along, you don't have enough time to go out and buy them and enjoy them and get on with the next one. Or they release such limited numbers that you're lucky if you can get your hands on one.
Yeah.
So I don't see this one in the shops at all. I got this one online. And when I went, there's only like about, I think, 12 cases left online. So I think it was the one that got short pulled.
You going to short pull me again?
I reckon that one might be...
That's pretty good, actually.
That'll do.
You're thinking of a bloody bartender or something.
I don't know. Who would have thought?
Not that I pour drinks on cans in the bar, so... all right, so I'll give you the blurb on this one. So, number 200 anniversary ale. It's a 7% ABV Australian IPA, celebrating our 200th unique beer and 200 years of India Pale Ale in Australia. We brewed this tribute to Aussie beer history and the antedating of the first documented use of the expression India Pale Ale in the Sydney Gazette newspaper in 1829.
Really?
Well, that doesn't sound like 200 years, it's 1829.
Maybe they're not
sounds like about 192.
Maybe someone was drinking. The close enough.
2020 counts as a couple of years in one, I suppose. So.
It's in elephant years.
So it's a traditional blend of English malts with a fresh twist of Australian Ala, Cascade, Vic's Secret, Eclipse, and Galaxy hops. It's a modern expression of a historical beer.
I was going to say, it does have that sort of the Australian hoppy smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a grapefruity sort of flavour.
I do like the can wrap as well. Maybe the old... almost like the old VB style, I suppose, isn't it? The old traditional lager style.
But that's a thing. Like, growing up, you would have known that pretty much everything you walked into a bottle shop and saw, if you're going with your dad... Was that
like, even in New Zealand, they're transcendent to New Zealand as well. Like, you know, your DB draft or double brown or whatever, Ranfurly draft or the crap beers in New Zealand, kind of, you know, looked like variations of that. So,
2.1 standards.
So 7%. I can smell it pouring. It smells very, very fruity. Kind of very tropical, kind of like
there's a tropical. Like,
it's got the pineapple, passion fruit kind of flavour coming through.
These are kind of my favourite flavours in an IPA. So unless something goes very wrong, I think I'm going to enjoy this.
It's quite. Is that surprisingly cloudy? Given the fact it's a historical IPA, I was expecting it to have quite a bit of clarity in this one, but it's quite hazed up there. So
maybe they've used really old ingredients.
The 200
Thank
years
you.
Old.
Thank maybe, you for the courtesy.
Or maybe 192 years old is.
Solid offering.
The aroma kind of betrays the actual taste. Like, the aroma is a lot more fruity than what the actual taste is. Like, the taste is getting more your sort of more bittery kind of.
It's bitter. It's resiny. That piney sort of. I don't think any of the fruits sort of shine through. It smells it and doesn't necessarily taste it.
Yeah, the follow through is just doesn't quite match.
Yeah. So
it's good. I'm not sure it's... I tell you what I'm comparing it to. Black Ops Neverland.
Yes.
And I kind of feel it's a bit... Like, Neverland's a bit better.
Well, see, look, Neverland was a sort of grapefruit IPA, so there's a bit of sort of grapefruitiness put through it as well, so...
Mm.
So
which probably just takes it up that next level, because I think this has probably got a little bit of that almost grapefruit acidity to it just as a finish, but it's not... like a prominent flavour. It's just like a really sharp finish.
Mm.
It's just, it's not off-putting, but just a bit of a like disconnect from the aroma to the taste. It's, if a beer tasted like the aroma, that's a nice fruity negro. Yeah. Like I said, it's surprisingly hazy, but it doesn't taste like a hazy. It tastes like an all classic IPA. Like.
It's a tough one because it's not a bad beer, but at the same time...
It's a beer.
That's it, but there's so many sort of examples of this style out on the market, which I also think there's a lot better examples of this style on the market, which I think is what I'm fighting with. Is it's good. It's just it's not sort of any point of difference.
No.
It's good, but it's not shaking my tree. If you were, it's not a tree shaker.
This feels like it should be a core range, but there's kind of no room in the core range for it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a quality beer, but it's just not unique.
And this is kind of where I sort of stand with, you know, the limited releases. Like, this doesn't need to be limited. This isn't doing anything different or that spectacular that hasn't been done before. I've tasted beers like this before. I've tasted better but worse beers or worse beers than this before. This is very, you know, middle of the road kind of it's nice, and I'll enjoy the rest of them. Got at home and sit away and it's good, but
funnily enough, this one's making a good argument for your 2.5 score.
Yeah, it kind of worked out, didn't it? I was just thinking that as well. I know I joked that about before, but this is really like a 2.5 kind of. Like,
do we change to 5? So this would be a 3. So smack bang in the middle.
Right.
Now's the time to do it, because then we've got to rescore the
Happy Valley Cherry.
So we go scale of 5, and I'll give this a 3.
Yep, and I'd give the Happy Valley a 4.
So
I'd give that a 4. I'd give the Black Ops a 3.
I'll give Happy Valley a 4 as well then.
In consensus. Yep.
There we go. So new scoring system to 5. just had to find something for middle of the range beers where they're good, but they're not.
It's the planning of this podcast that makes it so seamless, honestly.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Your editing can come
up. Hey, look, this is what makes us unique.
Yes.
And relatable is that we just change on the fly.
That's exactly. We're adaptable. Yeah, you know, you've got to adapt in this modern day trendy society.
Yeah. We don't have some producers sitting over our shoulders telling us we can't say that. Because if we did, I would say a lot less stuff.
we're pretty good at not dropping certain words.
I've got good at editing them out, more like it.
we got the bleeping bleep button done.
Yeah.
Definitely. On the new scoring system, definitely a 3.
It's like, if you see it in the shops, I wouldn't rush out and get it. If you go to someone's house and they give it to you, that's fine.
You know where this would actually fit in a really good spot? Fridge filler.
It is
a fridge filler style beer.
There's room for beers like this that, you know, not every single beer has to like melt your mind and cause you to run on the internet and go, oh my God, this beer is like, just a good beer.
And the problem with Black Ops, because they have a very nice pale ale and very nice, the Hornet and IPA, you don't need that beer. You don't need this one, but...
The disappointment is like the number 100 beer was a really good IPA. It was continuously hot for 100 minutes by 100 other staff or something like that. They had got some fancy line for it, and it tasted really, it was really nice beer, a really top quality IPA. And I was expecting something like
that. It was a little bit different. It was
memorable.
Yeah.
I suppose 100 is a bigger deal than 200. But I'm surprised they didn't wait till 250. 250 seems more.
Well, maybe they'll bring out a good beer for 250.
Maybe.
Which is a bitter beer. All right, so next stage of the Golden Oldies Awards, we're looking at best can art for 2020. Being we have such artistic eyes and we've got a sense for fashion and what's great. Just look at episode 1 or 2, we talked about the can art awards.
Yeah, no, I think that was episode 1.
Yeah, episode 1, there we go. Kicked off with the trends there, and we'll kick off with the trends again now. Here we go.
We are staying trendy.
All right. So, I've only got a couple for this one, admittedly. There's a lot of...
Spit it out.
I'm just trying to think. I've got about 7 things I'm trying to say at once.
Two beers down, he's done.
Let me tell you another thing. I've only got a couple of beers here because I find a lot of the can art is, it's all good, but it's all high quality, but it's all just what it is. So the ones that stood out for me, so my runner-up came from really early in the year, this is going back to February, March, pre-lockdown, was Newstead Brewing Vampire Lovers. It was kind of like 3 punk rocker skulls on the cover. It was all very like Sex Pistols cover kind of.
Newstead do some good ones.
They have some great can art
series. Crackers. It's just the beers probably haven't lived up to the can art.
The beers range from exceptional to. But there's one can art that really stood out to me. But my favourite can art of the year was from White Lies Brewing. It was the Firestarter Hazy the XPA.
Prodigy. Yeah, right.
With Keith Flint, the lead singer of the Prodigy, on the front of the cover.
It was listed as one of my nominees.
Exceptional can art. And if that doesn't get a nomination in the can art awards next year, there's a crime going on there. But yeah, they're my 2 favourites. Boys?
Did you have anything?
Actually, one of mine is from Newstead as well. It was for their soda rail.
Was a soda mouth or something like that.
It had some cracking artwork.
Really curious artwork. Like, just unusual, it was appealing. But, you know, it was really unique. It stood out. It definitely caught your eye on the shelf, which is kind of what the idea of can art really is.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other one was, and this is kind of a series rather than individual beers, but the Hope Brewery's Imperial Sour range.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, they had the lemon lime, they had the boys, the blueberry.
Yeah.
The raspberry, grapefruit, and the Sunny Boy.
It's good when, like, a brewery, like, you know, comes across a good template and they stick with it and run with it. So it just creates that consistency in the line is good. Like what Akasha did with their rejigged can art. There's a great change because the old cans look like ass, basically. The new ones look really classy, simple, and you know, they stand out.
The great thing with those Hope ones is you don't even need to look at sort of what the name is of the beer. You go, there's the pineapple one, I'll pick that one up. There's the raspberry one. It's just...
Yeah, you know exactly what you get in result. You know, something like soda, and I was like, what the f*** is that? Yeah.
Yep. What am I looking at? Yeah. And I think I'd liked it because it was very clean, simple, and it was crisp, and it was colourful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, as you say, having consistency across the brand can really add a lot of impact as well.
Yep.
We see that with like Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
You always know it's a Black Ops can. We see it with Range. You always know it's a Range can. The difficulty with Range is knowing what beer it actually is.
Yes.
The thing with Black Ops lately, though, is that they're moving away from that. Like their core range is very much their core range that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
And their limited monthlies used to be along the same lines as ours. Now they're moving away from the black cans. Like even the one we just had, it's a white can with a blue label. Like that doesn't look like a Black Ops.
Check our socials.
Yeah, exactly. Check our socials. The East Coast Low, I think I had recently, there was another white can and stuff. So they're moving away from what stands out for them, which is...
Yeah.
You know, from a design point of view, I don't know if it's the right thing to do.
And you kind of think, like, if you're going into a bottle shop, right,
when
you're scanning for a beer, if you spot a Black Ops can with a different colour that you haven't seen before, it immediately grabs your attention. You go, I've got to see what that's about.
Yep.
If you see a white can that doesn't look like a Black Ops can, half the time you probably look past it.
Yeah, you'd probably scan past it.
Unless you're aware that Black Ops are bringing that out, you probably miss it, which is a shame.
Yes. So my nominees, I've done this as just a theme, and it was several of the breweries did their Day of the Dead beers. So Garage Project, Wolf of the Willows, they all just had some really good artwork on those ones. It was just fun. It hit exactly what the whole theme.
I think that like the Mexican Day of the Dead aesthetic is just so damn cool. Like, it's such a great aesthetic. If you can use it well and you can.
So that was one of them. Yeah, the White Lies Prodigy reference. I have also put forward Deep Creek, their Zen series. So the Mr. Miyagi, Dragon, what's the other one? It'll come to me, but that whole series of beers. It's just really bright, colourful.
And the funny thing is, like, they're all completely different, but they're all got the same kind of template. So they do look like a range, but they also look very individual as well, if that makes sense. So,
That's it. So you can clearly see that, they've gone to artists and told them to do an Eastern theme.
Yep.
And, so I really like those ones. The other one I was just going to mention is the Mr. Banks Neon Dreams. It was just bright, colourful. It suited the name of the beer.
Yep.
It was just sort of that, it fit exactly what the beer was. Yeah.
I think there should be probably a couple of special mentions as well.
Mm.
Sea Legs did some great stuff this year.
Yes, they did.
All Rise on Me was good. Leviathan, I really liked
it. That's a good shout, actually. Yep. Leviathan was a really good shout. One that is understated, but I quite like it, is Young Henry's, their sour series. They had like From Where Your Guava Be and Dark Sour of the Moon. Like there, it looks like an old style like vinyl record in the front. Very simple, but it's striking black and white. So I quite dig that.
Yeah.
And speaking of those two, are we going on to the next?
We might as well, yeah.
So, best names, best puns.
So, best bear names or best pun names that we've come across during the year. Of course, if you know others that are better than ours, reach out to us on our socials.
Love to hear them,
Post a picky with us. Tag us and them on Instagram or whatever.
Yep. Do it on Instagram because that's the one we actually check regularly. apart from Weed Guava Bee and...
I'm not a fan of the name Dark Sour of the Moon, but Where Your Grave Will Be is particularly good. I love the name All Rise on Me. I think that's great. Probably my favourite name of the year came up in the beer advent calendar from Orland Brewing. It was What's Up My Grinches, and it had like a picture of the Grinch all gangster style and stuff. So that was probably my favourite beer name for the year.
Yep. I had Total Eclipse of the Hops.
Yep.
Then also Misty Mountain Hop. So musical themes going on here.
Mm.
Laguna Matata.
Laguna Matata.
Yep.
Moondog did something good this year. They named a beer well.
Yeah, that was the only thing they did well all year. Misty Miyagi.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
There's a good Cobra Kai reference as well. And my final one was McConaughey's. Good can art, good name. It was just a fun beer, and it actually tasted good as well.
Yeah, there's probably a few from my side. Most disappointing thing I find is that I get excited about the pun and the can, and then the beer is disappointing. So to lead that statement, the best thing ever to come out of Cooper's Brewery was their Master of the Bruniverse series. Great name, love it. Average beer, but you know, like the concept.
Does the job,
Two Birds had a couple. They've got Chew Tang Can.
Yep.
And Fruit Tang Can.
Nice.
So just fun.
Yep.
Again, beers are okay.
Yep.
Not bad, they pass.
Right, so show and tell number three, it's over to Pity.
Excellent. So I have bought Super Juicy New England Pale Ale from Hope Brewery.
New England Pale Ale as opposed to a New England IPA.
Yes. Yeah. So reason I got it were, well, Juicy was the term for 2020. So
it was actually,
It just popped up for everything. But it sort of combined my 2020 and 2021 sort of hope is combining beer styles. So yeah, you'd normally figure it as a New England IPA. Mm. So a New England Pale Ale, something a little bit different. So it's 4.5%.
I think I'm getting a short pour here. How's it going? How's it going?
Yep. Short pour. Ooh,
short, dirty pour as well, by the looks.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, there's a bit of colour difference there. Look, so Warren and Pity's got the nice golden amber work, and I've got all the sediments. So mine's a bit of a brown Brisbane River water going on in there.
That's where the flavour lives, Russ.
Yeah, I'm in flavour country.
So, SJ Pale Ale is a New England style pale ale, super fresh, smooth, and sessionable.
I've got to ask, what does SJ stand for?
Super Juicy?
Yes.
Well done. Hey.
Okay. So big mango, passion fruit, and tropical flavours dominate with a low bitterness. It's
I got a real like. Is it butter menthol?
Well, mine tastes a bit funky.
It's citrus and another fruit. It tastes like butter menthols.
I'm just smelling it. It is a butter menthol kind of smell.
It tastes like butter menthols too.
Which I'm not sure is something I want in my beer.
It's like honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Manuka honey or something like that.
Yep. It doesn't taste like honey. It's just got the honey kind of texture, kind of...
See, even I'm tasting honey.
Yeah, I'm tasting honey.
I'm getting that now.
It's like the finish and just the lingering is honey texture and taste.
I wonder if it's the mango.
It's an odd type of mango if it tastes like honey.
Mm.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. That's.
But it is. It smells and tastes...
Buttermenthols.
Like a scoop of honey.
Because with it being like super juicy, I'm kind of expecting like a big citrus fruity bomb and really lively and that sort of thing.
I would expect the smell that we got from the Black Ops beer as a flavour is a super juicy.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly right, yeah.
I was anticipating something like the juice box that landed.
So
probably a bit more of a... That was an orangey sort of one. I was expecting sort of a mango with orange.
Well, you meant to shake the can first, because
yours is a completely different. Let's pop that up because that's intriguing. The difference in colours.
Yep.
So, keeping those glasses COVID safe, by the looks of things.
We'll drink from the other sides of the glass.
Well, I think that kills COVID, so you should be fine.
I'll just drink with a mask on, it'll be all right.
We'll pop that up on the socials because that is two completely different colours.
Yeah, and we're not messing around. That came from the same can. I just got the bottom of the can in that one.
Yeah.
It's the pulp of the bottom of the orange juice bottle.
Yeah.
This could explain a lot.
Expire?
No, well, it was packed in July 2020.
Really?
So it was, 7 month old beer.
Thoughts?
See, because I think the butter menthol... Now I'm kind of trying to unpack the butter menthol flavour. I think that's them, that's the hazy Nipah trying to get through, but then it's just in the background, so that's why it's coming off a bit weird. Like, it's a New England pale ale, not a IPA, so that's where it's...
So you don't get any of the hops
being
pale ale. I don't get any malt from your standard pale ale. It's just, it's citrus, orange citrus and honey. Yes, low bitterness. I don't get any bit of...
It's low on a lot of things, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm coming out and saying it's a two.
I was kind of thinking the same.
I'll go a two. I think one's probably a bit harsh, but yeah, go a two.
So I wouldn't pour it down the sink, but... I wouldn't
go out and buy another one.
No, I'm definitely not buying another one.
No, it's disappointing because it sets itself up, like, even like, you know, the can out there has got the orchards there. It's Hope Estate, and they do grapefruity beers as well. It's called Super Juice, so it sets up this hope and this picture of being this big citrus, and it just... Whatever that is, it's melted butter menthols, so it's Werther's original when you can.
So I'm just going to throw this out there. Hope Estate, if you are listening and you think we've gotten this wrong or we've gotten a bad beer, let us know. Send us another one. We're happy to review it again.
Yeah.
It might be a bit fresher, so there's only one way to find out, Hope Estate.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we'll tag you in this because I'd be intrigued. I'm disappointed because I had some absolute crackers.
It's not too often you get a bad beer from Hope Estate,
Oh, well.
It's more likely that I'm probably going to get the name wrong and call them Hop Estate or Hope Nation.
Yeah.
I get them mixed up all the time.
I know you've had, a few of those ones where we've had to. We're bad mouthing the wrong brewery.
Well, on that great disappointment, should we move on?
And that's probably like 2020 in a can there right away, isn't it? we all start off 2020, the new decade. This is going to be great. We're in 2020, and then 3 months later, well, what the hell happened?
Yeah,
sort of summing up 2021 as well. Where it's like, new year, let's get that over and done with.
It's like I've been saying lately, like 2021 is just 2020 directed by Michael Bay.
So we've got hero shots panning around
in
slow motion.
Yeah. Right. Now, it must be time for the big awards. This is what all the celebrities are here to see. It is the best brewery and best beer of the year.
The excitement.
I know. The tension is palpable. Yeah.
So, honourable mentions for yourself?
Honourable mention of breweries of the years. Just missing out, and I kept flipping and changing whether they're going to make the top five or not. Just missing out were Currumbin Valley.
Mm.
The only reason they probably didn't make my top five, I just haven't had enough from them.
Yep.
Like I've had their Breakfast Juicy, Waste Oil Stout, and the Misty Mountain Hop. I haven't had too many others. They're really good. Again, same thing. Little Bang and Bad Shepherd fall into that category as well. I've only had like maybe two, maybe three of their beers. All good, but I need a couple more to put them in the top five. And the other one I had was like Black Ops. So they'll be good this year. They haven't had too many bad beers, but they haven't had anything that's really, really sort of wild me or anything like that. And the beer we had today out there is probably a testament to that. So.
Yep, Black Ops and Ballistic were like that for me. They're good breweries, they just haven't done anything outstanding in 2020. Funnily enough, my other ones that didn't quite make, Little Bang was another honorable mention, but Revel didn't sneak into my top five, which was a tough one. Garage Project didn't sneak into my top five, which I tossed and turned about that one for a little while. The other one, Helios, I added them, took them away, added them, took them away. So it was a tough one, but they're my honourable mentions, and they are Revel, Garage Project, and Helios could easily be in my top five.
Fair enough. I don't have any honourable mentions. I'm happy to get straight into my top five.
Jump into it.
Go for it.
So in no particular order.
Yep.
But I might have to review this after the last beer was Hope Estate. I think they did some really great stuff throughout the year. There was a couple of misses for me, personally. But for the most part, they were probably one of my best discoveries of the year. Prior to 2020, I hadn't tried any of their stuff. I was thoroughly impressed with the stuff I did try last year for the most part, so they were up there. Next on my list was Dainton Brewing. Just a solid brewery all round. Yep. They're always bringing out unique stuff. Probably one of those breweries that just does too much.
Mm.
And I'd love to see more stuff that stays on.
But to the credit, they do a lot of stuff, but it's a lot of different stuff. Yeah. Like they have a lot of variety in what they do. So they're not just making too. 36 different hazies. So.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Next, of course, for the bingo card is Happy Valley Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just, I suppose, for me, it's a new brewery. The guys are really passionate about what they do. They're really pushing forward. They started in the height of COVID, and that takes some guts. And I think they've come through it really strongly. So yep. That was probably...
It's a tough year to open a brewery as well, honestly. They've done well. Sample more of their goods.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then I rounded out with Black Ops. I probably experienced more Black Ops this in 2020 than I have in previous years. So that probably just opened my eyes a little bit for more of their stuff.
Yep.
And last but not least was BrewDog. So it's been a fair few days there. and I always enjoyed what I drank. So I'm really happy with that.
Yep.
Nice.
Russ?
All right, so my top five. So I kind of got them in order anyway. So the fourth and fifth could be interchangeable. I've got Revel Brewing. They are someone that really jumped up on my radar this year. They just started releasing, basically at the end of lockdown, they just started releasing like a lot of eye-catching brews, and I started paying more and more attention to them, and some really good stuff there, like Manga Macadamia, I absolutely love.
Mm.
The Oak Cream IPA, and even the Hot Bro Super Choice. I know it's a collab.
Yep.
I think that's just a really cracking IPA.
Good one. Did you have the Mountain?
The Mountain. Yeah, there's
Revel and...
Yep. Revel and Deep Creek. Yep, that's another really good one.
IPA.
What is that? They had quite a few... Yeah, they're just a lot of really good beers. And like I said, I hadn't really touched much of them before this year, and I'm a big fan of them now. Yeah. So yeah, they're definitely up there. And the other one is Hop Nation. I definitely got the name right this time. Mm-hmm. That's why I wrote it down. I just had a few beers that just really stood out, like the Chop IPA. I think it's probably the core range. That's a really good IPA.
Yeah.
The Banana Pastry Stout. That's probably one of my favourite dark beers of the year as well. I thought that was an absolute cracker, and I thought that was going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
I brought it still thinking, what's this is going to be a train wreck. Let's see how this goes. And it was actually really good.
Yeah.
And then the Christmas Advent Calendar, they did a black IPA, which was an outstanding as Humbug Black IPA.
Yes.
For me to like a black IPA, it's really good.
I know you had it, but I really enjoyed it too, was the Candyland from Hop Nation.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, it's sweet, fruity.
That's where that new label design they've
pushed really on. Clean. Yeah. Clean and simple. Yeah.
And adult size cans, the big 440 mils.
So my top three, unsurprisingly, bingo cards ready, Ballistic.
Yep.
The main reason that they could have gone there, they were my brewery du jour for lockdown, like they're just down the road. So the number of times I'll go down there and grab like a growler full of Sabra IPA, or grab a four pack of Mexican hot chocolate. And like they didn't do that much. There was mind-blowing, but what they did was really good as well. Like the Hawaiian Haze, I'm pretty sure that recipe changed this year. That's really good beer now. The Coup de Gras, the Russian Imperial Stout, that is really, really good as well. And so that's what they got there. Two on my list is Garage Project. They're just bonkers. The range of stuff they do, they probably do a few too many hazies, if you ask me, but some of the stuff they do is just outstanding. Like Yakima Valley Hazy was one of my favourite beers of the year. We'll get into that later. Surrender to the Void, scored highly here. The Pickle Bear, like they turn the Pickle Bear into something good. You've got one now, so let me know how that goes. Warren's grabbed my pickle, so he'll let us know how it tastes.
There's a smile going on for both of them, so I might just leave the room.
Another one I tried over Christmas was the White Mischief Salted Peach Sour.
Yes, that's a really nice
beer. It's a 2.9% beer, and it's got so much flavour. It's ridiculous. So that's why they're there. But my number one brewery for the year is Sea Legs Brewing.
Yes.
They have just done some wild stuff. They've done
lockdown work for them.
Yeah, they came out of lockdown with obviously lots of ideas and lots of different ideas, yes. And they pulled them off. Like the only one that I'm a bit iffy on was the Sideshow Alley Strawberries and Green, but again, it's not really my sort of thing. That's fine. Yeah. But All Rise and Me, I loved it. Red Run IPA, that was fantastic. That was the Marzen, that was amazing.
Mandarin, coriander, and basil.
Yeah. The kiwi fruit mint. That one, I think, missed the market. I think there wasn't enough flavour on that one. But yeah, the basil, coriander.
Both the goes that they have as well, the blueberry and watermelon.
Because our first beer after lockdown was there as well. We had a few IPAs, and that
we
was
had a business meeting.
Yeah, it's a socially distanced business meeting.
And the other ones were the Leviathan.
Yes,
and there was a raspberry dark ale. Earlier in the year, that was top notch.
So even their core range, like they do a really good nitro milk stout as well, and I think that's a really good brew. They don't seem to get as much attention as what they should, and I just think they've had a cracking year. So thank you, C-Lex.
Well done,
excellent. Top five, All In Brewing. Just their stock standard beers, every single one is an absolute cracker. It's Midnight Jackal, probably the best black IPA out there. Their red IPA, great. Their Citra
Hopped. It's a 5% XBA, and it's just loaded with flavours. It was really good. Yep.
Really impressed with those guys, and we'll have to make a trip up there. And mine are no particular order, so Sea Legs, as you mentioned, all of those, definitely great stuff. I did put Currumbin Valley into mine. Everything I've had of theirs has been an absolute cracker. Deeds, just yes, they had some average beers, but they were still good, drinkable, solid beers. The good stuff they did was just exceptional. The other one I added was Mr. Banks. They just did some absolute crackers this year. So
It smells like Yakima. It's a double dry hop, something like that.
Everything really they've done this year has just been outstanding. I don't think I've had a bad beer from Mr. Banks. So yeah. Absolute crackers.
Yeah.
So, the big award.
All right. So, going on to our beers of the year. So, do you want to do shout? You got shout outs there?
I've got some honourable mentions.
Yep.
So, the guys that were close but didn't quite make it, Counterculture and Tequila Queen. It was close.
Yeah, actually.
It was so early in the year, but that was just, it was something completely
if
different.
If we did an award for best abstract beer of the year, that'll be... Yep. Probably second behind pickle beer.
Another one that was close, and I've given so much grief to these guys, is Three Ravens, but their raspberry lemonade creamsicle was just an absolute cracker. Sea Legs, their mandarin coriander and basil visa, however you want to say it, that was just so different yet worked so well.
Yep.
The Currumbin and Revel collab, their oat cream IPA, first oat cream beer. It's just it was really nice. And then Mr. Banks, the Paradise Lost, their oat cream black IPA, just beautiful, that one.
Yep.
So that didn't make it
right. My shout outs or consolation prizes. So from the advent calendar, Brouhaha Hinterland XBA, that was an absolute cracker. Little Bang Inside Voice Foreign Extra Stout, again one of my favourite dark beers of the year, absolutely love that one. I have to shout out Surrender to the Void from Garage Project, that was really, really nice. And Bad Shepherd Peanut Butter Porter, that is cracking one there. So alright, then on to the top fives.
Well, did you have any?
Nope.
Cool. Okay, top fives. Who wants to go first?
I can kick off.
Alright, you want to kick off?
So these ones I did put in order. So number five for me was the Electric Dry Hop Acid Test by Garage Project.
Yeah, that's a monster.
Garage.
I think I put it in there because it was unusual. A lot of different flavours in there, a lot of bold flavours, and really an enjoyable beer.
Yep.
Fourth was Hope Estates Imperial Blueberry Tart Sour. Punchiness of the Imperial. And lots of flavour and just it's so much tang. Just
blueberry works in sours.
For me, number three was Hop Nation, the banana pastry stout.
Yeah,
nice.
That was a cracking beer. Number two was BrewDog's Elvis Juice, which is a grapefruit infused IPA.
Yep.
That's just one that I'll grab anytime I can, chuck it in the fridge, and just really enjoy drinking that beer.
Yep.
Number one for me, Vocation Brewing's Breakfast Club 2.0, which was a waffle and blueberry breakfast stout.
Yeah, Yes,
that does sound good.
It does sound pretty good. For me, so my top five, so in fifth spot was All Rise on Me Biscuit Rye Ale, so I really like that one. Fourth, already got to mention today, Vampire Lovers Red IPA.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one fondly from the start of the year. That's a really good IPA, red IPA. Third for me, Garage Project with Yakima Valley. That's probably the best hazy IPA I've had all year. That's just absolutely outstanding. Second place from Revel Brewing, Mango Macadamia Wisa. I absolutely love that.
It was a cracking beer.
Cracking beer. And yeah, for me, put like a sour kind of beer that high up the list shows how much I really enjoyed that. At top for me, Holistic with Coup de Grace Barrel Age Imperial Stout. That is my favourite beer of the year. That was just an absolute decadent treat. And yeah, I loved
it. Nice one.
Okay, so my top five. At number five was Mr. Banks and then Neon Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a crisp, hazy. It was just really good. Number four, I went Revel Brewing and then Mango and Macadamia. So I had to make it in there. Number three, Sea Legs and the All Rise on Me.
Yep.
Number two, a completely different one from Ten Toes, their Culture Kick Blueberry Pastry Sour. That was just exceptional.
There's a lot of blueberries in these.
Very much so. It just works in beer. So my best reference is think of a blueberry strudel sort of flavour. Mm. That's what it came out of as. And my number one was Corumba Valley, their Strawberry Gin Fizz Sour.
So I was wondering if that'd get a mention.
It had to get a mention. It was an absolute cracker this year. I really enjoyed that one. So,
some quality beers in that lineup. Really good stuff.
They definitely do quite a session on those.
Yes, and the amazing thing is, like, just so much difference in those beers as well.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
There's not much in. Not many just standard IPAs, not many just stock standard anything. So, bit of fun.
Yep. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please join us for a live recital of Where's Wazza?
Thank you, Russ.
Dorick, mate. Classy, mate.
It's nice to be out of prison. Nice to be able to talk about this in person rather than sitting in a toilet cubicle. Which... funny point, there is no toilet cubicle at this particular venue.
Wow.
Was it at the prison?
They don't serve beers at prison, I asked. So this week I was out at Malt Traders in Brisbane City.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Malt Traders is a bottle shop, but with a twist. So they have, obviously, a typical bottle shop lineup, but then they've got tables and chairs. You can pick a beer from the fridge, crack it, and drink it in store.
Yep.
They also run a couple of taps in there as well. So they're always changing the range on the tap. So it's kind of a bottle shop slash bar.
Yep.
In terms of the beers, they've got a huge selection of craft beers and whiskey, for those of you that enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Australian stuff, but all over the place.
Yep.
They've also got a selection of oddball beers that you wouldn't necessarily find in most places as well. So there's always something different, unusual, unexpected in there. And they rotate the stock regularly, so there's always limited edition beers, new beers that are coming out, and if you ask the right questions, you might even find that they've got something hidden out the back that they were hiding for themselves, but they're prepared to let
them out. They are very good at doing that if there's a limited release and it should be out, just ask.
Always worth asking the question.
I like the fact, too, that they have a lot of those European craft and old school stuff there as well.
In terms of the service, you know, the team love the beers. They're clued up and always happy to offer their thoughts. So if you go in and go, I don't know what to get, even if you're buying something as a gift for someone, I don't know what to get, my friend drinks craft beer, they'll offer you some suggestions. They'll either go, yeah, this is some really ballsy stuff, some unusual stuff, or they'll go, if you're not sure what they like, here's some simple beers that you can't really go wrong with.
Yep.
In terms of the vibe, this one's kind of hard to measure. It's a bottle shop. You know, if you go there on a Friday afternoon, you know, it's lively. There's people yep. drinking, having a laugh, enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
If you can get a seat, yeah, yeah. But, you know, it is a bottle shop, so there's no live music. There's no entertainment yep. outside of the beers and the company themselves. Mm. I will just add that there is actually a second site as well in South Bank. So slightly different, but along the same sort of lines. In terms of the location, it is on Market Street between Mary Street and Charlotte Street. So it's a bit difficult to get to if you're driving to it, especially midweek.
Yes.
That being said, if you work in the area, it's brilliant because you can go down on your lunch break, have a couple of beers, probably not head back to work and then catch the train home or the bus home.
If you are driving, best bet is to park at Eagle Street Pier and just walk across the road. It's like 50 metres.
There you go. Consumer advice.
Yeah.
In terms of the food, there is none as far as I'm aware. They might have some bar snacks, but that's about it.
You could or I suppose technically the bottle shop snacks.
Well, yes. Yeah, bottle shop snacks.
And you could walk down to their restaurant, which is 10 metres down the road.
Yeah.
So, if you want to leave. If you're hungry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But you're not short of options to eat if you're in the city anyway, so that's no big deal. Overall, I've given it a 7. You know, I think it is a great spot. It offers an excellent selection. But at the end of the day, it is a bottle shop, so it's limited accessibility. There's a couple of things that mark down from it, but they shouldn't take away from it. Yes. You know, overall...
How's pricing? Is pricing all right?
Pricing's good.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly pretty standard as far as pricing. Considering it's a CBD, it's not, you're not paying like $2 or $3 more.
Yeah.
See, my mind's just buzzing with a place like that. So at what point does it stop being a bottle shop and start being a bar? Like
it is predominantly a bottle shop. That's their focus. I think for me, it's if you want to go in and try a beer before buying, say, the 4-pack, that's where it's a great option because you can literally sit there and go, oh, actually, no, I'm not going to buy the 4-pack on that one.
No, it's more, you know, at what point does it start becoming a bar? Do people drink there too much and, oh, that's a bar now? Or is it, you know, my pub brain and licensing brain's going, how's that different from a bar? Yes, it's got more fridges.
Yes, no, it's definitely bottle shop first and then it's just a bar second.
Yeah, it is, like, it's small and pokey. There's a handful of tables and chairs in there. It is definitely a bottle shop.
Yep.
With the ability to drink inside.
Yeah.
And let's not get too hung up on, you know, licensing and all that sort of stuff.
This is more of a me just trying to work out the differences between a bar and a bottle shop. You know.
And I think it appeals to
can I open one in Springfield?
No, it definitely appeals to a certain crowd and it's looking for people that appreciate the final one, so craft beer, some of your more expensive and decadent or hard to get whiskies, same with gin, even wine. So they're looking to, they want people coming in and talking and potentially talking to the person sitting next to them about the different beers. So I've been in there a few times and you do have a conversation with someone going, oh, what's that you having? And there's suddenly a conversation about it. So, it's a really good spot for sort of someone that's a bit more into it, not just someone entering things.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely worth going and checking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sounds great. Well, about wraps it up for the first ever Golden Oldies Awards. Our award winners will receive their golden statues of B. Arthur soon. Golden Girls reference.
I know, but don't promise that because you're in charge.
I'm surprised you went with Bea Arthur instead of Betty White.
I was tempted.
She's the original gangster.
She is a bit. I don't know. It might be next year's one then.
Maybe. Yeah.
maybe Betty White be the Supreme Award or something like that. So.
Maybe Betty White's like the it's more litigious way to go.
Maybe Betty White for the best of, and Bea Arthur for the not so good awards.
Sorry, Bea Arthur, if you are listening to this.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Is she alive?
Oh, I was just going to ask that. Is she still kicking around?
Is Betty White still alive?
She's
still around,
she'll still kick your ass.
Probably,
yeah.
Oh, and on that note.
On that note, that about wraps you up. That about wraps her up.
Russell's tanked. I've been Wazza.
I've been Anthony.
I've been Russell. And you've been Awesome.